Welcome in. Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for joining me. So week one is in the books. Notre Dame gets the job done. Wins their 19th straight home game, the most since a streak going back to 1990. More importantly, Notre Dame remains undefeated in the ACC at 1-0. There was plenty to like. A lot to dislike. But overall, nobody can forget as we go into this discussion, the number one goal was met. Win the damn game, get to 1-0. We did it. Wasn't as crisp as we wanted. I have a lot of questions about a lot of things. But the good news is everybody's usually generally more open to discussing our shortcomings after a win than a loss. So that's what we're going to go over today. They say teams improve the most from week one to week two. God knows, I hope we see some of that improvement, particularly offensively from Notre Dame, from week one to week two. Brian Kelly gets extended through 2024. The Big Ten is up to their shenanigans. It's a never-ending circus with them. And I want to expose the fallacy of it's week one, therefore it's okay to play bad or not sharp. Okay, two different ways I'm going to expose the flaws in that narrative as they specifically pertain to Notre Dame. So we're going to do all that and more. The season has finally started. Let's go.
We talk about respect. We're talking about respect around the country. One thing that we want more than anything else, and that's respect.
Welcome to the Always Irish Show. A whole lot of Notre Dame football and a little bit of everything else.
Roger, hitch up your child and say, hey, baby, here I am now.
As the football Floyd that's often annoyed, here's Johnny!
That's right. Welcome in. Welcome back to an in-season edition of the Always Irish Show. Thank you so much for joining me. As always, you can find the show on YouTube. Type in Always Irish. Hit the subscribe button. I do appreciate all of your support. On the Twitter machine, type in Always Irish, you'll find me there, or at JKZND4. Emails, alwaysirishnd@gmail.com. Audio only, you can get me on any platform. I think I'm on all of them now, so if you can't find me on one that you use, let me know. But I think I'm on all the major ones that people use for their podcasts. Like, subscribe, share, review, write mean things. John, you suck. I don't care what you do. I just like the interaction, okay? It's healthy. It's good for all of us, okay? So that's actually where we're going to start today. The first thing I'm going to say is, and I mean this sincerely 100% when I say, football coming back this last weekend, Saturday and Sunday, has brought this country together as one united group more than any politician on either side of the aisle has done in decades. I mean that sincerely. To see my Twitter timeline full of football and not arguing over this virus and overall the civil unrest, it warmed my heart. I'd rather have a dumb football argument any day over all the politics and everything else going on. So that was a breath of fresh air, welcomed, needed. This was the most normal I've felt in months, and it's because football was back. So, if you're upset with your team, if you're happy with your team, whatever it is, just let's thank our lucky stars. We have our little escape back and our football back. It's healthy and it's good for all of us, okay? So, I wanted to get that out of the way first. Obviously, we're going to spend a lot of time talking about the Duke-Notre Dame affair. But let's not bury the lead here. Before the game started, it came out Brian Kelly's extended through 2024. So regardless of where you're at with Brian Kelly and if you like what he's doing or not, get used to it, as Brian Kelly himself would say. Because he is locked in till 2024. Now, this was interesting because This extension's been talked about for a very long time, and it kept dragging, wasn't happening. You're kind of wondering what's going on behind the scenes. Then COVID hit. That's a very convenient reason for nobody to do anything financially and agree to anything. But it's done. And it seems like it was done a while ago, just wasn't public. Right before the game, they announced it. So Brian Kelly's back through 2024. I do expect him to retire into the sunset after that. But that's our framework, and at least now we know what we're working with in the time frame for the Brian Kelly era. 2024 is gonna, it's gotta be it. I say all the time, coaching at Notre Dame ages you worse than being the president of the United States. Okay, so that's where we're at with that. Let's get that out of the way. Okay, now on to the actual game. We're 1-0. Okay, 1-0. That's the most important thing as we get further into this discussion. Yes, I expected a lot more. Yes, I expected us to be much crisper and sharper. And offensively, I lowered my expectations because it's game one, week one. Okay, that kind of goes for every year, no matter what. I lowered my expectations even more due to the COVID interruptions and all of that. Okay, this offense, what we came out with offensively was so far below even my lowered expectations. It was appalling. I mean, we're gonna get into it, but. I almost feel like the dumb one that I sat here and laid out what I wanted to see from the offense, and I actually thought maybe we would see it. So maybe I'm the dumb one. But we'll get into that as we go down the road here. Okay. So yes, it wasn't always pretty. It started out really sloppy and slow, got a little better. This offense is going to be the death of me. I really do think watching this offense is what's going to make me stroke out live on camera here. I've fallen. I can't get up. I don't understand. I don't get it. I just don't understand. That being said, at least we're not Iowa State. At least we're not Kansas. At least we're not Kansas State, and most notably, at least we're not Florida State. Okay, so this is all where you're at in perspective. Am I frustrated with how this game started? Absolutely, 100%. I have no patience for it. We're going to get into it. Okay, trust me, we're going to get into it. At the same time, at least we're not these teams that blew the first game of the year against teams they probably none of them should have lost to and really, really screwed their chances for the year before they even got out of the gate week one. Okay. So would it be nice to be Oklahoma and blow a team out with no worries, no problems at all? Of course it would be. Is that the goal? Yes. Didn't happen, but at least we're frustrated and won. We're not frustrated and the season's already screwed. Okay. So I just want to make sure I throw that out there because I know it's just going to be, it always turns into this with me. John, nothing's enough. Nothing's ever good enough. We won. Can't you just be happy? Yes, I'm happy, but I could still want more. Like, that's what I don't get. Are people not capable of doing two things at once? Yes, we won. I'm relieved. I'm happy. Also, why does the offense look like shit to start the first game of the year? That's a fair point too. So you could do all of this at the same time. Be glad we won. Be relieved we won. Be happy for the players we won. And be frustrated with some of the things we didn't do well. Okay? You could do all of those things at the exact same time. Okay? So that's where we need to start from. Yes, we won. We're happy about it. Some of it was really, really good and positive. Some of it's extremely worrisome. Extremely worrisome. Okay? And so here's what I don't get. Here's what I don't get. When people say to me, John, it's just game one. And things are going to be sloppy game one. Like, it just happens. Just accept it. No. How about that? No. Like, here's what I don't get about that angle. Was it also game one for Duke? Yes or no? Did they, have they already played four games and they're all lathered up into the season? Or was it Duke's first game too? I think it was also their first game. And they kicked the crap out of us on both sides of the ball, up and down the field the entire first quarter. 142 yards? 124 yards to zero after we each had a couple possessions. We had 7 yards total of offense in the first quarter. In the first quarter, they were averaging 6 yards a play and we were averaging 0.7 yards a play. So I don't get it. Oh, it's the first game, so you just have to accept you're going to come out bad. Why didn't Duke come out bad? It's not a guarantee. It's the first game. You have to come out like crap on both sides of the ball. Luckily, the defense ended up being what we expect the Clark Lee defense to be. But I just don't understand or accept it, because it's the first game. You just have to roll over and act like you never played the sport before just because it's first game and it's okay. Explain to me why in Duke's first game, they came out and kicked the shit out of you the entire first quarter. Where was their lag because it was the first game? Why didn't they start off slow and sloppy because it was the first game? They got us off the field and moved right down the field. So if you're going to tell me that it's the first game, you just have to accept it. Why didn't that apply to Duke, who has worse players than us overall? Why? Why? Okay? That's the philosophical inconsistency I have. With it's week one, just accept poor sloppy play to begin with. That didn't happen to Duke. And I want to know why. Why are we incapable of starting out crisp and looking like we know what's going on? Okay? So I struggle with it. It doesn't make logical sense. It's their first game too, and they whipped your ass the entire first quarter. So what's the difference between how they prepared to come out and us? That's one philosophical inconsistency I have with the it's the first game, accept what happens narrative. Here's number two. Number two is something I was tweeting with Mike Coffee over at ND Nation about. He looks at it similarly to how I do. All this, like, first game stuff with the slow start, QB that looks shaken, rattled, running around, panicking, missing open guys, the offensive line struggles, just all of that kind of stuff. We three and outs to start the game, getting gassed up the middle running, and then passing that entire first quarter, we are sleepwalking, right? Here's the problem with saying, oh, it's just a strictly game one problem. And this is what Mike Coffee was talking about with me as well. You can't say this is just game one stuff when these same problems are reoccurring Brian Kelly issues. How many times have we started about a slow start? Okay. Not looking sharp on offense in the beginning. Just three and outs. Quarterback looking shaky early. Okay. All that stuff happens a lot to Brian Kelly teams. That is an ongoing complaint of everybody. Is the slow starts, lack of focus or energy or whatever's missing when we start these games. That's an ongoing Kelly concern. So if you want to tell me that's just a week one, I don't believe you. Or, okay, it's week one, year 11. Does that make you feel better? It is week one of year 11 of this. So those are the two issues I have with it's week one, just deal with the sloppiness. Didn't affect Duke week one. They came out, whipped you on both sides of the ball the entire first quarter. Fortunately, Notre Dame's a superior team talent-wise, so they were able to overcome that and win the game. But they weren't sloppy out the gate right away. Play one, series two, series three, the whole first quarter. Both sides of the ball. So that doesn't make sense because it doesn't apply to Duke. So why do we have to be the ones to play like crap? Because it's week one. They didn't. So that philosophically makes no sense. It sounds like excuse making to me. Things people say to feel better about themselves. It's just week one. It's like baseball. Not this year, but in the 162 regular season, team starts out slow. Oh, it's okay because it's early. I hear it all the time. All the games equal the exact same amount, whether it's in April or the end of September. But you hear it's early, it's okay when teams play bad early in the baseball season. I've never understood it. They all count the exact same. So that's an excuse people use to feel better about their team. You never see a team that's in first place the end of April and people writing about that team. It's early, they're going to fail. Have you noticed this only happens when a team starts badly? They use the it's early excuse, okay? So it was early for both teams. One of them came ready and it wasn't us, so that doesn't apply to me. And then the fact that these concerns with the slow start, sloppy beginning, bad, boring offense, all of it, nothing working, that's a Brian Kelly thing. That is not a week one thing. That's a Brian Kelly recurring theme. So I can't allow that excuse to fly either because it's just the same stuff year after year. Motivation. Why aren't we properly ready to fire off play one, game one? Why? I don't get it. It makes no sense and it drives me absolutely crazy that we don't come out ready to perform. I don't get it. It's not big time ball. It's just not. It's just not. Okay. So I don't know what to say. I mean, that's the biggest frustration here and where I have to differentiate. People saying, just chill out. It's game one. That's not the issue I have. It's that it's game one, but 10 years of the same problem. How do people not get that? It's not the game one part. It's 10 years in one game that I have a problem with. Come ready to play right away. I don't get it. Okay, so we may as well and just start with the offense, and I'll just get my stroke out of the way here. Okay, so what did I ask for offensively? I asked that we come out with a purpose, a direction, a sense of urgency, a modern, aggressive plan ready to be activated and put into use right away. I wanted to see a dynamic new offense that varied greatly from Chip Long's that we wanted to get away from. Okay, that's what I asked for. That's what I thought was fairly reasonable, even tempered down. I wanted to be able to see some of that. And what I got was three straight three and outs to start the game, bad offensive line play early, a three-year starting quarterback looking skittish, panicky, questionable mechanics, not seeing guys wide open. I got an offense that looked like last year's, but worse. Why? Why? I couldn't believe what I was seeing early. It looked like, let's pull all of the worst plays from the Chip Long offense and then run them. That was the plan. Game one, week one, with the new offensive coordinator. That was the plan. What a disgrace. Listen, there's no secret about it. The defense keeps us as a playoff contending team. Even the special teams did their part Saturday. Make no mistake about it. The offense is holding the entire program back. Time to just say it in case anybody didn't notice it yet. The offense is holding the program back from where it needs to get. There's no way around it. The evidence is there. The defense is going to keep you in games, okay? Special teams apparently is going to be okay. I liked what I saw from them. The offense is the weak part of this team. It's holding the entire program back. And it certainly didn't look like it's going to get any better off this week one performance. So I just don't get it. Like, I literally sat there and I didn't even yell. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was just every single play you don't want to see run and then poorly executed. I just don't get it. Why? I don't care what you're running. I don't care if 87 of your receivers are out. I don't care. When you have a three-year starting quarterback, all your offensive linemen returning, three of which are pre-ACC top offensive lineman picks, you cannot tell me it's acceptable to have 0.7 yards per play the entire first quarter. What in the hell is going on? Why? Why? I don't understand. Even with my lowered expectations due to COVID restrictions and just first game stuff, this offense is 100% less than what I wanted to see. I can't believe it. Like, you have individual guys making plays that we're going to get to. But overall, I'm appalled and almost emotionally numb to what this offense was and what the plan is. I couldn't believe what I was freaking seeing. I can't believe it. It's almost like they ran every single thing they knew I hated. Just to make me lose my mind and possibly life if I stroke out on this show. Explain it to me. Three year starting quarterback, all your offensive linemen returning, and you average 0.7 yards a play through the first quarter. And you got Notre Dame fans talking about, we want to beat Clemson twice. You better look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. Take a good look before you hit tweet next time you want to say that. I don't get it. I just don't get it. You look at the overall numbers and some of it looked okay overall. Listen, you could do all the numbers overall and tell me that. I know what I was looking for visually out of the offense, the offensive line, the quarterback. I know what I was looking for. Didn't happen. Didn't see any of it. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. Like, I can't even wrap my mind around it. I don't even know what to say at this point. Like, I don't get it. This is the best offensive line in the land. Is it really? That's the best offensive line? Like, you got to be kidding me. Move somebody. Like, just, I just don't understand. I just don't get it. I don't get it. What is the plan? What is different? Yeah, they run a little bit of misdirection. That's like the only thing I liked out of the offense of what they were, other than individual efforts. You have to separate what an individual guy does versus the overall plan of the offense. Just because Kyren Williams goes nuts and has a ton of yards receiving and running doesn't mean the offense was running well. He did a lot of that on his damn own. So, other than a couple little wrinkles, I hated it. Not even close to what I wanted. Not even close to acceptable. Not even close. You can't beat any decent team the way that offense was set up. So I just don't get it. I expected way, way more. And this just was a disgrace. Like, nobody's going to tell me otherwise. We'll go over all this yardage and the others. I know what I was looking for. That ain't it. I just don't get it. It's like people are like, oh, how could you get that mad? It's the first game. Yeah, which means you had all your practice time to figure out what you were going to do. All these weeks, what are we going to do when we get the ball? You came up with 0.7 yards per play the entire first quarter against Duke? Okay. Yeah, tell me that's acceptable. Like, get real. What are we doing? I just don't get it. So here's the other thing, too. I want answers on Braden Lindsey and Jordan Johnson. So I understand Austin's injured. I understand Skoronek got injured, okay? All summer, oh, John's excited to see Braden Lindsey, one of my favorite guys. He's going to be a breakout star. He's out there dressed, and all of a sudden he's unavailable, doesn't play. What the hell? What's the story? So then I hear it's corona-related. Doesn't make sense why he'd be out there dressed then. Then I hear it's discipline-related. Then I hear he's got an injury. Which is it? Which is it? And why can't we get clear answers? That's the other question I have. Why do we got to play these games that Lindsey was on the was available but not put in? And it creates all this controversy. If he's injured, tell me he's injured. I don't understand why at Notre Dame we got to play these games. If the guy's hurt, tell me the guy's hurt. I'll deal with it. But when he's dressed and on the sideline not playing and nobody knows why are we playing these games? Just tell me what the hell's up. Jordan Johnson, what's the deal? There is no red shirt thing. You don't lose a year. Why is the guy not dressed, ready to play? Especially a wide receiver, because we have 10 guys that are out now. Why isn't he out there? I want answers. I want freaking answers. What's the story on Lindsey? Oh, it was just a hamstring or something. Why don't we know that on Saturday? Instead, all these rumors. He's in trouble. He was in COVID. Just tell us what's going on with one of our best players. Just tell me. Instead of playing all these games. Don't understand it. So, you could tell me I expected too much out of the offense all you want. It literally looked in the beginning of the game like we kept all of the worst parts of the Chip Long offense and then just added on to it and made it look even worse. So, I don't get it. Especially early, choppy, no flow, no rhythm, no purpose. No, like I could see what we're trying to set up here. Bad play calling, worse execution, total flaming garbage that you're lucky you got away with only because it's Duke. Only because it's Duke did you get away with this garbage. Okay? So, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Okay? So, Book, 19 for 31, 263, 8.5 average, 1 touchdown, a bad pick in the end zone, 51.5 rating. He did throw a tunnel screen that went for 75 yards. That adds on to that 263, but it was a tunnel screen. It's not like he's throwing the ball over people. So, I just don't get it with Ian Book. Like, it's, yes, it's game one, but it's year three, game one. That's the point here. Not that it's game one. It's year three, game one. The quarterback in his third year, it's not time for you to knock off the rust with all the young kids. It's time for you to come ready and make it easier for everybody else to get in a rhythm because you're the upperclassman. You've been there before. You know what you're doing. You should be the one helping everybody else ease into this game. Okay? That's just not what we saw. It's just not what we saw. So it's really frustrating. That's the same Ian Book stuff. Missing guys wide. Lawrence Keys was wide open, missed him. Happy feet, bailing on the pocket, not stepping up. It's all the same stuff that I was talking about going into last year that I wanted to see him improve on. It didn't really happen at all last year. Now we're a whole nother year, and I'm asking for it. And through one game, don't see it. So I'm just going to be frustrated by it. He's going to have better days. But when comes the time where he's just on it, ready to go, it really tests my patience. Third year starter. Let's go. You need to be the one to calm everybody down and get them going. That's what the quarterback's job is. You can't have younger guys like Williams and the new tight end energizing the offense. I got a third-year quarterback struggling. That's not how it works in big-time football. Not big-time winning football. So he'll have better days. But my frustration with him, I wasn't thinking this is week one sloppiness. I'm thinking this is the same stuff I've complained about with him for 3 years. Is it really not going to get any better again in year three? Like, that's what I was thinking. So, rushing, 42, 178 yards, 4.2 average. The numbers and the final score look okay. But visually, this offense looks nothing like what I wanted to see. It doesn't even resemble. Give me a little bit of the misdirection and the passes to the tight ends. The rest of it, no. It looks nothing like what I wanted to see at all. At all. Nothing even close to what I wanted to see. So maybe, if this wide receiver situation levels out, I just saw the depth chart for this week, Braden Lindsey, first string. So apparently whatever it was, he's back. But we need that wide receiver situation to really level out. Or this offense is going nowhere all year. You got to be kidding me with this. Let's go. You know, I know the one thing I did like with this offensive line is they were 4-for-5 on third and fourth in short conversions, which is good, and that's an improvement over last year. But still, with all five guys returning and a three-year quarterback, I cannot find excuses of why it's acceptable to look that lackluster in the first half. I just don't get it. There's nothing you could tell me with all five guys returning and a three-year starting quarterback why it was that way. I just, nothing you say is going to make me feel better about that. Best offensive line in the country? No. You got to be kidding me. The best offensive line in the country road grades this team Series 1 and keeps it going. That's what the number one offensive line does. So, and I know it's not all on them. There were blocks missed by the running backs, bad cuts, just a little bit of everything. Some of that may be week one. But overall, power run the ball. Oh, well, they had 7 or 8 guys there. I don't care. Do it anyways if you're better than them. Or find any wide receiver other than Wilkins to catch a ball. Seriously. Okay. Frustrations aside with the offense, let's look at some good things with the offense. The tight ends are a plus. Tommy Tremble, 5 catches. Mayer, 3. They call him Baby Gronk for a reason. He's unbelievable. That first catch, so athletic. The turn, good coverage, still caught it with trouble. Ran by the guy. Just, you could tell he's going to be an absolute monster. So that's fantastic. Joe Wilkins, 4 catches. Avery Davis, a touchdown. These are not the names I want to see up there. They're not the names that can be up there if you think you're going to be serious about contending for the ACC. That just can't be it. Those can't be your guys making plays. It's just not good enough. So, whatever. No Lindsey. Keys, 1 catch. Skaronic out hurt. Austin out. Wide receivers, non-existent most of the game. Some of it's on book. Some of it's on them. Some of it's on the line. Overall, just not good enough. Just plain and simple, not good enough. But those tight ends, those are real dudes. Both of them. Those are real-ass dudes. Love to see it. Run game, Kyren Williams. I will give Brian Kelly credit on this. He said Kyron Williams was their dude. Looks like Kyron Williams is the dude. 112 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 receptions for 93 yards, 75 of it on the tunnel screen, which I did like. If those are blocked right, I'm fine running them. We just don't block them right most of the time, okay? Tyree, he's getting initiated, getting into the mix, doing the kick returns, okay? Speed flashes, we're going to get there with him. So far, so good with those running backs. Kyron Williams was unbelievable. He did a lot for this team Saturday, and it's really impressive. He just kind of flashed on the scene. Now he's the guy. You love to see it, so I'm fine with that. So it's just kind of bothersome to me that guys like Williams that don't have a ton of experience at Mayer, these are the guys balling out game one, week one. It's not the 3-year starting quarterback and the 5 returning offensive linemen. That's extremely disappointing to me. It just is. I know we were limited due to the wide receiver situation, but the whole way this thing started out, just looking like everything Notre Dame fans don't want to see out of the offense, seemed to be the plan for the offense. And everybody was losing it, and it's justifiable. It really is. The offense is what's holding the program back from contending to be elite. The defense can keep you in these games. We need a big boy offense, and we're nowhere close to it. Not even on the horizon, not even seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. Where we're at right now is a million miles away from anywhere we need to be. So that's where we're at, okay? So keep up with the misdirection stuff. That's one piece of this I liked, but the rest of this was good individual efforts by guys like Williams. I guess the offensive line did play a little bit better as the game went on. Nowhere near dominant, nowhere near road grading, nowhere near best offensive line in the country. Just no. Just no. I know what that means to me, and this was nowhere close to it. Sorry, it just wasn't. So I'm fine not totally stroking out about this offense because they were so limited at receiver. Let's give it a couple more weeks. But if we look like this, I'm going to absolutely lose my mind because this is going nowhere if this is the offense. If this is what we're going to get, this is going nowhere. So I need to see this come together into something different because this plan was garbage. I thought Tommy Rees was locked up in a basement and Chip Long was pulling all the worst plays we ran and making us run them just to troll us or something. Unbelievably bad play calling and execution early. Terrible. The opposite of what we're looking for. Be better and fast. Now, let's switch over to the other side of the ball. And you have old reliable Clark Lee with the ultimate bend but don't break defense. Okay. Bad run fits early. Bad passing lanes we were giving them early. Really frustrating. The offense was doing very poorly. Then the defense, you're seeing us some gash run plays up the middle. We're not used to seeing that out of a Clark Lee defense. Some of those passing lanes seem to be wide open. Okay. But at the end of the day, 13 points allowed. 13 points allowed is winning football all day long. All day long. So whatever it looks like, frustrating at times, fine. I'm about the result. 13 points is big time winning football no matter who you're playing. Okay. Outgained 124-0 after 2 drives each team had. Then Notre Dame caused 4 punts and a field goal attempt the rest of the entire first half. Duke's first half, 246 yards, 6 per play. Second half, 88 yards total, 3.5 per play, 75 yards rushing for the entire game. Clark Lee is a winner. He proves it. The defense does their part. 13 points is winning football. The defense is doing their part. The offense is holding the program back from being nationally elite. Bottom line, it's just a fact, okay? So, Isaiah Foskey impressed the hell out of me. Owusu Karmoah, 10 tackles, 3 tackles for a loss, 2 sacks, force fumble. He's out there making special teams plays. Unbelievably fun guy to watch, coming into his own, leader of the defense. Love to see it. Hamilton, unreal talent. Here's the two things with Hamilton. Now, we all know he got injured. Looks like it's not as severe as it looked. If, you know, he's in a walking boot till Wednesday, they say, don't play him against South Florida. Just don't. Like, if you need him against South Florida, this is all going down the crapper anyways. So, let him rest up for a week, whatever. But here's the two things I love about Hamilton that you can't necessarily teach, but they're gifts that he possesses. One is a natural instinct to know where he has to be. That's the first part. He has a keen sense of where a play is going to go, where the ball is going to be, and place himself in between the two points. Fantastic. Okay. The second impressive part of that is not only does he know where to be, but he knows how to position his body in the exact right way to make the play, not interfere or nothing. He's just always in the right place and has the right form. It's absolutely, it's like a football fan's ballet, watching how beautiful it is and all those movements. That's how it is watching him. It's gorgeous. So let him sit out a week and then get him back because we're going to need him as we get further into this year. Okay. So the defense settled in. They played winning football, got a turnover, gave up 13 points. That's all you could ask from the defense. They do their part. Clark Lee's earned my trust and respect. It looks rough sometimes, but at the end of the day, they gave up 13 points. That's big-time winning football. That's all I could ask of the defense. I just need the offense to do their part. How many years is it going to take till we get that? I don't understand. I'm sitting here waiting. Okay. Special teams. Brian Polian. Not awful. I dig it. Special teams. Not awful. Seeing the punter be the best offensive player the first half was a little frustrating. This offense, every time I think about it, my synapses are just exploding in my brain. So, yes, it's a great play by Bramblett to run it, read it. He had to make a nice move. I thought he was going to go into the pile. He made a little juke. Former high school quarterback, got some moves. Great play. It's just a disgrace that you need a fake punt against Duke to trigger the offense. Are you freaking serious? Never in your life should you need that. But that's where we were. Good job on that, though. Kick coverages, couple big hits. I love to see it. Tyree is going to get more comfortable returning kicks. I expect some really good things from him. Solid contribution from Dorr made his kicks. So special teams, week one, I'm okay with it. I'm a little shocked. I'm not having a major issue. But special teams was pretty damn solid. I love those kick coverages, getting down there and blowing a guy up. I absolutely love it. So the only problem with the Brambrit play is that you needed it. You need the punter to make the biggest run of you. Like, give me a break. That's so small time. Just give me a break. Run a real big boy offense. This is Notre Dame. Run a real big boy offense. So in summation, defense, 13 points, winning football, Clark Lee doing what Clark Lee does. Love to see it. Don't really have any problems with it. Special teams made a big play, solid everywhere else. Good coverages. They're doing their part. The offense, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you to stop holding the program back from what it could be. Get modern, get real, get serious, have a big boy offense. Now, I want to go back and revisit my five things I wanted to see for Notre Dame versus Duke list and see which one of them we hit on, which one of them we did not hit on. Number one. If anybody remembers what number one was, you'll know why I'm laughing. How sloppy or crisp is Notre Dame going to be to start the game? I think that's clearly a fail. That's an F minus. Seriously, you got punked by Duke the entire first quarter on both sides of the ball. The ongoing Brian Kelly thing of motivation, the guys don't come out ready, still a problem. Even the older guys, I just don't understand it, but there's games where we're just not ready, excited to play, organized. I don't know what it is, but it drives me insane and I can't handle it. But no, we did not start crisp at all. Total fail in that regard. Duke punked you. It's their first game too. They came out ready to play and we didn't. So what's the excuse? There is no excuse. Get better, get real, get serious. Number two, the Tommy Rees offense. Am I going to see this new dynamic offense? Forget it. Absolutely not. Mostly hated it. Good individual efforts by guys like Williams and the tight ends. Credit Avery Davis for making a big play in the end zone we needed. Tight ends getting in the mix, fine. But the overall plan, execution, what we're trying to accomplish on offense is still nowhere near modern football where it needs to be. So I'm hoping this is week one, limited receivers, knock the rust off. But I'm way more concerned than I wanted to be about what this offense is going to look like now than I was leading into our first game. After seeing it, my concern level's off the charts. So I just pray what we see against South Florida looks vastly different than whatever this nightmare garbage plan and execution was. Okay. Number three, are we going to get the Clark Lee defense we're used to? Yes, sir. 13 points is winning football against anybody you play. Take it every day of the year. I don't care what it looks like at times. 13 points is 13 points. Winning football, okay? Number four, new players stepping up, making big plays. This is one area where I'm very encouraged after this game. Kyren Williams, Chris Tyree, Michael Mayer, welcome to the team. They're going to be big contributors this year early. Love to see it. Defensively, Owusu Karmoah is a guy that Notre Dame people know about. This kid's trying to be a national guy this year. He's all over the field. I love to see it. Special teams, defense. That kid is coming into his own. Leader of the defense. Love to see it. Isaiah Foskey's going to be a problem. He's a name you kind of hear, but you're not expecting to be a main dude. Maybe he's turning into that. Really impressive, disruptive, all over the place, like batting down balls. Just love to see it from him. Gonna be a problem. Looks like a young Stephon to it. I don't want to say that, but other people have been saying it too. I love that. Okay. Number five, the atmosphere. I gotta say, I think it sounded okay. Like with not a lot of fans or whatever fan noise the fans that were there made, and then they enhance it on TV or whatever, I thought it was fine. I thought it was actually a little louder than I thought it would be. I don't know if that's fake noise or real or what, but I thought that part was fine. Dungy in the booth, I was so mad about what I was seeing offensively that it was zoned out for me. I just know Flutie wasn't there, so it's an upgrade. Dungy's pretty benign. I'm sure it was fine, but I'll be honest. I don't remember like anything he said. I was in such a blind rage about that offense in the first half that everything else just kind of went in and out my head. So no Flutie, upgrade. Dungy, great by default. Okay. So there are my five things I wanted to see. Sloppy or crisp, forget about it. Total nightmare. The new Tommy Rees offense, forget about it. Mostly a nightmare. Clark Lee D, yes, sir. Young player stepping up, yes, sir. Atmosphere, fine, given the circumstances, okay? So, let's finish on a couple things. One is the Big Ten, again, Sunday they were going to vote, and then I was seeing on whether to come back in the fall or not. Then I'm seeing that it's going to be all teams or nothing, where everybody's got to be in it for them to do this, or they're not going to do it. Then today I see they met again, but there was no vote. They're still saying maybe Michigan State wouldn't play, but the rest of Big Ten wants to play. Then I'm hearing that. I don't understand. But if this turns out where the rest of the Big Ten plays and Michigan doesn't, it might be the best thing that's ever happened to me in my life. Like, it's one thing if the whole Big Ten just doesn't play, but if they all come back and Michigan doesn't, that's amazing. That is just, that is better than anything I could ever do to Michigan. Recruiting, you're dead forever. Like, this could just end, it could just wreck them. If the rest of the Big Ten comes back and Michigan's governor or whatever doesn't allow it, it might be the best day of my life. It honestly might be the best day of my life. I hate them so much that it would just be the ultimate, and it would destroy them in recruiting. Like, it's bad enough to try and recruit when your whole conference is shut down. If everybody else plays and you don't, good luck on the recruiting trail overcoming that one. Okay. Especially with a lunatic for a head coach. Good luck. Good luck. Okay. So that's what's up at the Big Ten. Who knows what they're going to do? What am I rooting for? I want the Big Ten to come back. I want to see Ohio State play. And I hope Michigan's governor doesn't let them play and they lose all their recruits forever. That's what I want to happen. Okay. Now, last year, these shows were usually a review and a preview in the same show. Ain't nobody got enough time for that. So I'm going to do a separate show in a couple days for the USF pregame show. 26.5 point favorites to open. Woo! Woo! I don't know about that. Anybody remember last time they came to South Bend, what we did? Do you trust our offense to beat them by 27 points? I don't know about that. But we will talk about that in the next episode, okay? So, overview. Any win in week one's better than any loss, okay? Defense, good. Special teams, good. Offense, it is on you to do your proportional part to push this program closer to elite. Right now, nowhere near it, not even light at the end of the tunnel. I'm hoping and praying I see something different next week. Okay? Till then, see you on Twitter.